This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بشخ يالله إن شاء الله تفضل.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على سيد الأولين والآخرين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, the master of the first and the last, and upon his family, his companions, and all those who call to his way to the day of judgment. As to what follows, my beloved brothers and sisters, to our viewing audience, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah Azza wa Jal for another opportunity to reflect upon the revelation and also to reflect upon our present situation. And that is important for us to get a balance between the divine revelation, the divine commandments, Sirat al-Mustaqim, and the reality that we are facing on the ground. Too many times people stay within the texts, they stay within the Quran and the Sunnah and the Seerah, and they forget about what's actually happening to us in our real life. Other people focus on the real life and then they lose track of the fact that many of the solutions that are being offered to us by doctors and psychiatrists and economists are actually within the revelation. Because the last message was not only a message for spiritualism, for rituals, for prayer, for fasting, but it is also a revelation for everyday life. That is crucial for the Muslim Ummah today on all levels. We are facing unprecedented challenges going into the 21st century. We are facing challenges internationally, locally, personally. And of course, what is on people's minds today, all over the world, but especially in the Western world, is the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, which is causing people to be forced inside. So instead of coming outside to solve their issues, they have to go inside. And for many people, going inside is a type of isolation. For many people who are used to going to masjids, going to community centers, going to malls, going to the marketplace, to say that you're locked down, to say that you cannot go except for essential activities is a type of prison in a sense. It's an isolation. And this is where we are challenged as believers, because we recognized that there are all types of circumstances that we will live in. And just the making of our morning prayers and our evening prayers, where the darkness has come in, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many aspects of our life has a type of isolation to it. So it is not strange. Secondly, there is great economic and social stress that people are living under today. It's something which is growing and it is causing people to turn on each other. Even in the so-called great nations of the world, the United States, the European Union, countries that claim to be the most stable areas on earth, there's a type of implosion that is happening, and that is a rumbling from the inside, and it's causing people to be stressed out and to turn on each other in ethnic violence, in tension, even in religious strife. And what this is leading to for many young people especially is depression. And from amongst the many challenges that we spoke about last week, and again, this is our practical guide to defending our, or preserving, protecting our Islam in the time of crisis. For the many challenges that we looked at, I wanted to focus on the area of depression, because we don't want to spend time just in a lot of theoretical discussions. They are important, but our theoretical discussion needs to be connected with a reality on the ground. And that was the ability that Allah gave to many of the great ulama, the great scholars throughout Islamic history. And so the issue of depression, which in some cases is an elephant in the room when we're talking about youth issues, when we're talking about what's going on, why is there abuse? Why is the families breaking up? Why are people acting so strange? This depression is a very serious thing. And it leads to general mental health issues. These issues also lead to illegal substance abuse. And so we want to look at these areas to try to get some grounding, not only in what's actually happening to us, but what do the great scholars give us in order to bring us out of these different diseases, maladies, these different problems that we are facing. What is depression? And people use it many different ways. But if we look at it from the point of view of our minds and our bodies, you could say that depression is a mood disorder that causes persistent feeling of sadness and loss of interest. Now, this is important because we all should look at ourselves, because this is hitting everybody. Look at our own life, and then look at these different definitions to try to understand what is happening to your young people, especially teenagers. Because when we look at our children, the children that are very small, infants, they're coming into the world and they're happy, and as long as they're fed and they're clothed and they're clean and warm, they're happy. When they get a little bit bigger, they start to have their needs. But when they reach that age, somewhere between 11, and now puberty's coming earlier for some people, but somewhere between, say, 11, 12, and about 19 or 20, the teenage state. And that is the time when the human being is not a child, but they're not an adult. In the Western world, they call it teenager. We don't have a word for teenager because either you're underneath puberty or you're in puberty. And when you reach puberty, you're an adult and you take on responsibilities. So when we look at depression, we find also that it affects how you feel, think, and behave. And it can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems. So this depression is serious. It can affect your feelings. A person who's depressed, their whole day can be gray, so to speak. And things can be negative. They start thinking in a negative way and start behaving in a negative way. And this can come out emotionally and even lead to physical problems. And also, you have what is called, when it gets really complicated and medical, so to speak, you could call it a major depressive disorder or clinical depression. And we're not really focusing on clinical depression so much because that really is the area for doctors. We want to look at depression in a general sense to try to understand what is actually happening. So what are the symptoms of depression? And these symptoms that come out of you, you might have mild symptoms or you might have severe. And these symptoms include feeling sad or having a depressed mood. So sadness, right? Just feeling negative. The world is against me. I have a mountain on my back. It also affects the human being with a loss of interest or pleasure in activities that they once enjoyed. So the person, for instance, used to play basketball. They used to hike. They used to be involved in different social activities. And when depression comes in, even the things that used to interest them, there's no longer any interest. So once you see that kicking in. And once you watch your teenager, your young adult, and you see that the activities that they used to enjoy themselves in, they used to smile, that these activities no longer bring that light to their face. It could be the onset of depression, or it could be the mild form. Depression can also change a person's appetite, and it could lead to weight loss or weight gain. But something which is not based upon the food intake. So something is happening. The person's body is actually reacting to this negative stimulus, and it causes them to overeat, or it causes them even to lose their appetite. Also, with depression, the person in many cases has trouble sleeping. And that person is getting up over and over again, or just stays awake, staring at the ceiling all night. But then you have people who sleep too much. And this is something to watch out for, because you'll find many people, especially young people, when they're depressed, they just can't get out of the bed. And they just stay there all day. And then for too long, they're going 8, 10, 12 hours sleeping. And this is too much for a human being when you start to get into 12 hours of sleeping in the night. Depression also causes a loss of energy or increased fatigue. Like they get tired easy. The energy they used to have is sort of gone out of them. And this is something which can lead to a lot of different issues. Some of these issues come into an increase in purposeless physical activity. In other words, inability to sit still. So they're pacing, they're hand wringing, or slowed movements or speech, right? These actions may be severe enough to be observable by others. So sometimes the person's pacing up and down. The person's doing strange activities, banging their hand, banging their head, talking in the wrong way. Even they're slurring their speech. So this is now something which can be serious. Now, when you start to get into the severe forms of depression, you'll find, and this is a common thing, and many of our youth are actually feeling this. It's like a feeling of worthlessness. So they feel like, I'm nothing. Or they feel guilty. Why are these things happening? Why are my parents fighting with each other? Why is the world like it is? What value do I have? They don't see value in themselves. And so this is like, this is serious now. And it can cause difficulty in thinking, concentrating, or making decisions. So the person becomes in the worst form, almost like a vegetable. And they're not even thinking right and can't decide on anything in life. And the worst form, the highest level of depression, of course, leads to thoughts of death or suicide. So this is something that we need to seriously consider now as one of the challenges that we are taking. And the great scholars, Imam al-Ghazali, Sheikh Uthman Danfodio, and you find that, you know, many of the discussions, practical discussions, come out of these scholars that I have found. They break the cure or the solution into two parts. There is the knowledge cure and there is the action cure. So the knowledge cure for us comes from first revelation. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about this? What did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam establish in his sunnah? What is the Islamic understanding of this phenomena? So this is the first issue that you have to deal with, because the knowledge is critical now in terms of solving a problem. How do I relate to this in terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me? So the Islamic response to the issue of depression, and that is this sadness, this grief, is that we should remain steadfast. Sabirin. We should have sabr, patience, perseverance. That is the Islamic response. And we are to remain optimistic. regardless of the circumstances. And the Prophet ﷺ on one occasion said, "Ajaban li amr al-mu'min," that the affairs of a believer are very strange. And there is nobody who has affairs like this, because if he is finding himself in good times, then he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's better for him. If he finds himself in difficulty, then he has patience and it's better for him. So the Prophet is saying all of his affairs are actually good because the patience is there and the optimism is there. To get more specific in dealing with depression, and these are our terminologies, and we have to realize that the concept of dealing with depression is not something that just happened in the 20th century or the 19th century. Muslim scholars had been dealing with depression right from the time of the great cities and universities of Islam. And I remember the Ottoman Turks that I was traveling in Turkey, and we reached a place called Edirne. And this is on the border with Bulgaria. So this would be like more north. You're going toward the European side. And this became the second capital of the Ottoman Empire. And they had developed outside of Edirne, as in other places, a Dar al-Shifa. It is like a psychiatric hospital. And this, you could say, is one of the first organized psychiatric hospitals in the world. And it's amazing that Johns Hopkins University, one of the top psychiatric hospitals in the Western world, it based a lot of its practices on the Ottomans. Even the buildings in Johns Hopkins are sort of built in that Turkish type of style. And so one of the issues leading into depression, and that is the issue of al-huzn or al-hazan. And this is what you could call sorrow or grief or sadness. And whenever you see huzn mentioned in the Quran, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually forbidding it. And Allah tells us, وَلَا تَحِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not falter or grieve, for you will have the upper hand if you are truly believers. Allah tells us in Surah to Yunus also, Allah and the awliya Allah, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. So now surely the friends of Allah shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve. Those who believe and guard themselves against evil through the consciousness of Allah. So here it is saying, the friends of Allah, they're not going to have khawf, and they're not going to have huzn. So there's nothing for them to fear in the future, and nothing for them to be grieved about, or to be sad about, in what has gone on in the past. And so either huzn is being forbidden, or it's being negated. So it's a very strong stance against this quality, against this disease, this bad issue that can come into the life. Sheikh Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said, sadness weakens the heart and diminishes determination and wanting to go forward. There is nothing more beloved to the shaitan than the sadness of a believer. And then he said, don't ruin your happiness with worry. And don't ruin your mind with pessimism. Don't worry about this and worry about that. Some people have stopped watching the news. Now, we shouldn't stop altogether. But much of the news that comes to us is that will make you worry. And it may not affect you actually at all. So we need to be balanced in how much time we actually spend on the news. Understand what's going on around you, because the world may be tumbling in right across the street. So understand what's going on, but don't spend hours on all of these depressive type of things. And Asadi also said that, he said, be happy and optimistic. Think good about Allah. Husna dhan billah. And this is a very important concept, that we should always think the best Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why we are in this. Remember the verses in Surah At-Talaq. Inna Allaha balighu amri. Qad ja'ala Allahu li kulli shay'in qadra. Allah will reach his purpose. So be optimistic, because what's going on with the COVID, what's going on with the world, the crisis, there's a reason for it. And Allah made a limit for everything. As-Sadi also said, have trust in what Allah is able to do and depend upon Allah. Then you will find happiness and pleasure in all circumstances. So this gives us an Islamic background. And it's very interesting what As-Sadi said. He said that, you know, just think about the goodness. Don't be negative. He said, you could be sleeping and the doors of paradise are being opened with du'as that are made on your behalf. Perhaps someone poor who you helped, they could be making du'a for you. Someone sad who you brought joy, they could be making du'a for you. Someone who passed you by and you smiled at them, they may be making a du'a for you. Somebody in distress and you removed it from their life, they could be praying for you. Don't ever underestimate good deeds, because you don't know when it's going to come back to you. So even though the news might seem negative, it doesn't necessarily mean that all of our life is going to be negative. And so the knowledge cure shows us very clearly what Allah wants for us, what we need to strive for, and the way we need to struggle. But for many people, this may not be enough. And we want to be as practical as we possibly can in this particular set of discussions because of the issues that we are facing. And it's amazing to show that the scholars, and this, one of the scholars who I focused on myself, Sheikh Uthman Danfodio of West Africa, he used to bring the knowledge cure and then action cure. So he didn't leave you with just a theory. He talked about the action. So what can we do? This is a basic way of trying to deal with depression. And you'll see that doctors start like this. When it gets to clinical depression, we're talking manic depression, that's another stage. But we're talking about the basic grieving, sorrow, sadness, depression, you know, that we're facing and our young people are facing. One of the cures could be reach out, stay connected. And so that means that don't just stay isolated in your house. Try to be around people who make you feel safe. Reach out to people. And we're fortunate enough to have devices now. We have laptops, we have cell phones, we have all types of devices and ways to relate. So even though we're in a lockdown, we can still relate. And if you're not just reaching out in order to get them to reach back to you, support other people. So you may be reaching out to somebody that you want to support them, because in the action of supporting somebody else, this can actually raise your feelings. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, if you're feeling bad, look at the person who was worse off than you. So sometimes coming to the assistance of other people, it actually helps to lift our depression. So stay connected, join groups. You may join classes, you may join chat groups, you may join other action groups that are online, but try to stay connected as much as possible with people who are on the outside. The next point is that, you know, do things that make you feel good. And this is not being selfish. This is being realistically, especially when we're in the lockdown. And of course, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakun hawahu taba'an lima jattubi. That none of you will truly believe until his hawa, until his desires follows what I have brought. So even when he's enjoying himself, it still stays within Sharia. So those things that make you feel good And, you know, it may be, for instance, you may have had a hobby before. There was something that you really liked to do. And maybe because of the hustle and bustle of the 21st century life, you couldn't. Now you have free time. What are you going to do with the free time? It's not just sitting there in front of a tube and watching Netflix. A hobby. You may have done your own gardening. It could be even gardening within your house. You may have been a person who actually produced things. You may have made certain objects. You may be a writer. Whatever your hobby was before, get into it. And if you do go on to the television, try not to be watching a lot of the mainstream programs that have the sexuality and the swearing and whatnot. Get into documentaries. We can actually travel around the world online now. You can look up a country, and maybe, as they say, you put it in your basket where you'd like to travel in the future. Think about that. Think about the time when we come out of COVID-19. What would you like to do for yourself, right? So think positive things and do things that make you feel good. Relax, do stretches, join yoga, tai chi, learn relaxation techniques. They're very important in these times. Number three, we need to get moving. And that means that, and I know it's difficult, especially in these times. We're in January and February here in Canada. It's not easy because this is the time when we have a lot of cloud cover around over our city. So it's very gray. And at least in the summer, the sun would come out and whatnot. And, you know, you can feel the sun, but now it's very gray. So it's not easy. Imagine living in Nunavut, in the Northwest Territories, or living in Iqaluit. I remember a few years ago, I went to Nunavut in Northwest Territories. That's in the Arctic Circle. So I went there to deal with the community in terms of Dawa, how to do outreach to the community. And the people were the Gwich'in and Inuvialuit, you know, as the Inuit people who were living in the north. And there were Muslims there. There were Muslim business people who had actually gone to that part and established themselves. And they built a masjid called the Masjid, the Mosque of the Midnight Sun. And so just imagine when I reached there, and it was the summer, the sun was out all the time. But imagine if you reach there in November and you're going into December, then you would see darkness all the time. At Salatul Dhuha, it would be like 10 o'clock at night. Salatul Asa, 10 o'clock at night. Even in the morning, 11 a.m. in the morning, like the darkness of night. So that's not easy. There's no doubt about that. But at least we're here in Ontario or in other areas, and other people in the Western world may be listening to this as well. Wherever you are, get moving, even if you move inside your house. But get moving, move around. And that means that you can go out for walks. Even in the lockdown here, you are allowed to exercise. And so exercise, go outside, pair up with somebody. It may be a family member, or you may even pair up with a friend. But get together. You know, we keep our distances, we have our masks, whatever we need, but we move outside. And make goals, walk a certain amount of distances. Don't let the cold and the snow even stop you, because we can put on our warm clothing and we can walk in the cold. And that's good to acclimatize our bodies actually to the cold. So let's continue to move. Next point is to eat a healthy, depression-fighting diet. Now, what is that? Because many people now, because they're inside, now it's pizza. So they're ordering their pizzas and they're ordering their starches and their sweets. And, you know, they want to make themselves good by eating food that brings the dopamines, like the chocolate sweets and whatever. This is a mistake. because the body is actually going to work opposite on the body. So we should eat the type of foods that actually fight depression. And that means cut down on the sugar, cut down on caffeine. We shouldn't be drinking too much caffeine during the day. Also the carbs, you know, cut down on that, more vegetables and more fruits, and even vitamins. If we can't get as much vitamins as we possibly can get, then even get a multivitamin. And we had a formula before when I was young, growing up in New England. My mother used to give us cod liver oil. And for me as a young person, it was torture to drink a tablespoon of cod liver oil in the winter. But now I understand why she was doing this. Vitamin D. It's very important for the immune system. And this is where our Islamic diet comes in. The Prophet ﷺ said, take the black seed. Alaykum bihabbatis sawda. Fa innaha dawa'in min kulli da illa al-maut. Take the black seed. It will cure every disease except for death. Why is that? The scholars found that the black seed strengthens your immune system. And if the immune system is strong, it even fights off the coronavirus. The immune system is strong, it fights off flu. And so not only are we dealing with depression, but we're also dealing with the COVID-19 as well. The next point from amongst our action cures is get a daily dose of sun. Now, again, that might not be possible in the part of the world if you're living here in Canada or in the northern countries, but focus on making sure you get vitamin D, because vitamin D is one of those vitamins that helps to fight depression. And surprisingly enough, it also fights the COVID-19. It's amazing that even though in Africa and in the Caribbean, although they do not have the technologies and do not have the medical facilities, there's less people dying from the COVID-19. It's less effective in this area because in sunny areas, they're getting the vitamin D. And so the vitamin D is strengthening the immune system. At the same time, it works with depression. So this is very important. The sunlight works with depression. And so we need to get a daily dose of sunlight. Also, we need to challenge negative thinking. And this is very important because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about a nafs al-amara bis-su, that there is a part of our nafs, our internal self, that actually commands you with negative things. And for some people, it's actually a voice. They hear a voice telling them, oh, you're nothing. You're a loser. You people are weak. You're going nowhere. Don't listen to this. Challenge this. This is where our du'as are coming in. A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tammat min sharri ma khalaq. I seek refuge with the complete words of Allah from the evil he has created. So say those du'as, believe in them. Ayatul Kursi, read it constantly, especially in the night before we go to bed, and challenge negative thinking. This is extremely important in dealing with the issues that we are facing in this dark time outside, and also in this time of the pandemic. So I want to, with this, open up the floor for any questions. I've said a lot of different things, covered a lot of areas. But remember, we're dealing with depression as one of our challenges that we are facing. And we're trying to preserve our Islam. This is a real thing now. It's not just theoretical. It's hitting us. Okay, so we have the knowledge cure, and we have action cure. Okay, so let's open up the floor to see if there are any discussions or questions that anybody might have concerning these issues today. So I want to open up the floor for any questions that anybody may have.
Yes, please type your questions in the question and answer section in the bottom of the Zoom.
Now, what I want you to do is to go back over these points, and I specifically put it in a PowerPoint so that you can go back to this. It'll be there on your islam.ca. You'll be able to go back over the points. And keep them in mind when you're dealing with young people especially. But this is with the adults as well. There may be certain characteristics, certain things happening. And you need to check it out to see if depression, mild depression, is actually starting. Floor is open. Any questions?
Sheikh, there is a question here. Is Surah Duha also a surah that is about depression?
The chapter of Duha, it is in a sense that as the scholars tell us that right in the beginning of the revelation in the Meccan period, when the Prophet got the first revelation, Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, and Jibreel was coming to him, then for a period of time it was stopped. And this was very depressing to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was very anxious, and Khadija radiallahu anha actually assisted him, showing him that he really is a messenger of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in these early Meccan periods, this beautiful chapter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has not left you. He guided you as an orphan. He brought you to the light. And it's a beautiful chapter, and we all need to think about this. How Allah was merciful to us. We were nothing, and we came into human life. With all the problems that we have and challenges, think of the good things that have happened in our life. And Allah ends this chapter telling him that he should speak out. Now do the da'wah. So it's a chapter that raises up the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from his depression into action. And that's what the idea is with our discussion. Is that we want to focus on bringing ourselves, into a dynamic form of Islam, that we don't stagnate, but we come out of ourselves and we actually benefit ourselves and benefit society. Okay. Floor is open again for any other questions or any comments that anybody has concerning this topic of depression.
There are no more questions, Sheikh.
And so we can see what is happening in the world itself. Now, remember that the shaitan will iyadu billah, as the scholars have said, this is one of the issues which is the most enjoyable to the devil. And that is when a believer becomes sad and depressed and full of grief. Because this turns into self-destruct. Your self-esteem lowers, and you actually work against yourself. And that really is the work of the evil one. And we can see in the way the world is going, in a sense, and how the media is focuses on the negative. It doesn't focus on the positive, but it focuses on the worst qualities of human beings and the murder and the destruction of the world. How much time in the news actually goes toward positive things? People being cured, people being educated, societies, saving their youth. There's not much discussion on the fact that since we've been locked down and there's not so many planes flying, that the earth is actually repairing itself, that there are fish swimming around in different parts of the world where they were lost, in places like New Delhi in India, they're actually breathing air, jogging. They haven't seen the mountains, you know, in years. But now they can see the mountain because the smog, that horrible chemical fog, which is over their heads constantly, it lifted. So there's a lot of positive things that are going on along with the challenges that human beings are facing. But you can see that the forces of evil wanting us to feel negative about ourselves, wanting us to feel there's no hope, and then providing their solutions. This is where we need to resist, and that is to resist negativity with positivity, and to realize that once we focus on our faith, once we focus on our spiritual solutions, the spiritual solutions will help us out of this. Because remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, who are the awliya of Allah? Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Those who believe and they have the consciousness of Allah. They have taqwa. And so this is important for us to remember that those spiritual issues, how we are approaching our faith to preserve our faith, is part of the solution on the ground to the problems we are facing. And so we will look at next week, inshallah, other challenges we are facing, and then look at some of the spiritual solutions within our faith and within the way of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, how to transform our character, and how to raise our faith and raise our taqwa so that we can overcome the challenges, because the challenges are a bit physical and spiritual. And sometimes the spiritual pandemic is worse than the physical pandemic, because the physical pandemics, they come and they go. But when a person is lost, when their heart is lost, when their faith is lost, when their fitna is in their deen, when their trial or test is in their religion, it is one of the most dangerous positions to be in. So we need to know how to protect our Islam. What did the great scholars show us? How to protect our Islam from the spiritual pandemic, from the onslaught that is coming on us. We want to look at this in a practical way, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would help us to be able to come again. And we pray that Allah azza wa jal would lift any depression and sadness and grief from your hearts, from the hearts of the children, from the hearts of the poor people around this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring joy back to the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala soften our hearts and fill our hearts with the light of faith and taqwa. And may Allah accept us for those good deeds that we have done and forgive us for the wrongs that we do. I leave you with these thoughts, and I ask Allah to have mercy on me and you. Da'wahum fiha subhanakallahum wa tahiyyatuhum fiha salam wa akhira da'wahum an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.